Will you stand for our confession of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed? Let us share in it together in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Today's scriptures are taken from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 20, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and chapter 5, verse 1. First, from 1 Samuel. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take one-tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and courtiers. He will take your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take one-tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his servants. And in that day, you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, we are determined to have a king over us, so that we may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." Now from 2 Corinthians. "But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, 'I believed and so I spoke,' we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We often use portions of this scripture at funerals to remind the assembled body that our life doesn't just end with the demise and the expiration of the physical body here on earth. Because we as Christians believe that there is another, even fuller measure and expression of life that we step into, that is right now being prepared for us in heaven. This is part of why the Apostle Paul says at the conclusion of our lectionary passage this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And this is one of the passages also that I often recite whenever I process before the casket at funerals. A tent, when you think about it, is usually a temporary fixture. We put it up to give us temporary shelter when we're moving about from place to place, as we do when we are perhaps camping or on special occasions, such as when we have social events or seasonal activities that are limited in their duration. We put up these temporary structures in order to give us shelter and in order to give us temporary habitation. The Israelites, when they were on the move in the wilderness for 40 years following their exodus from Egypt, had what we refer to in Scripture as the tent of meeting. This was the portable dwelling they used for religious gatherings and ceremonies. It was the space that housed the Ark of the Covenant, which for them symbolized God's presence among them. So when the Apostle Paul makes reference to that quote-unquote earthly tent we live in, we can understand the symbolism he is using as a metaphor for the human body. Because like a tent, our bodies are not intended to be permanent fixtures. We may occupy space in them for a while, but our time of use for them will, by design, be limited. When I was a kid growing up, and even throughout my early adult years, my mother would often say to me, "Son, don't ever get old. And while in those earlier years of my life, I would probably chuckle, as you just now did, and take what she said with a grain of salt, what she was saying, now that I'm much older. And there's a lot more wear and tear on this body. What she was saying then, I now know to be true. I now know exactly what my mother was in her playful way beginning to prepare me for.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And with each passing year, it confirms her point. And while she wasn't altogether serious about not wanting to get old, she was serious about the fact that things in this physical realm, including our bodies, do begin to change with time.
Yes. Yes.
And we will begin to experience at different points along the way the effects of these changes.
Yes.
But what I would have us to pick up on this morning from our text in 2 Corinthians is that regardless of these physical and other changes we experience throughout our time here in this earthly tent we live in, and these changes will not only be physical in nature, but these changes, especially that Paul was referring to, are also changes reflecting the emotional ups and downs of life itself. And of course, in this epistle to the church in Corinth, Paul was speaking to a church that was often under the threat of persecution. But regardless of these changes, physical, emotional, or otherwise, that we as humans go through, while we're in this realm of the physical, there is a bright side. There is an antidote for everything challenging and everything difficult we may come across while we're in this liminal, transient, and transitory physical realm. There is a bright side and an antidote for everything we have to contend with while we're in our earthly tent. We call the realm of the flesh. The Apostle Paul writes in our text from 2 Corinthians 4th chapter verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. And to better understand this, you have to go back to what Paul was saying at the very outset of this text, because when Paul wrote earlier in verse 13, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus. So this notion of being raised with Jesus is also a concept that places us right here and right now in the eternal presence of Christ our Lord. We don't have to wait until we get into heaven to be in the eternal presence of Christ. We can be in that eternal presence right here and right now. And while the ultimate fulfillment of that promise of eternal life in the presence of Christ is on the other side, where we can move from our temporary earthly tent to a permanent building, from God, which, as Paul says at the conclusion of this text, is a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. It's not made with anything that we as humans have any part of. Yes. While the ultimate fulfillment of our eternal life with Christ may be in heaven, the beginning and the more immediate promise of this life begins the moment that we begin to believe in, as Paul and the early church did, that Christ is in fact resurrected from the dead. Yes. And brings all who believe as much alongside of him. Because if we truly believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we will also believe that God in Jesus Christ has the power to raise us from our own graves. Not only graves of the body, but also graves of the mind and of the spirit. Graves of both sin and evil. There is nothing in this world that can keep you down once you begin to believe and internalize what God did when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So our eternal life begins the moment that we can begin to internalize what resurrection really means. The moment we begin to internalize, not as words on a mere sheet of paper, but as something that directly impacts us in our own realm of being. That what God did for Jesus Christ, he can also do for us. Wherever you may be in life, what God did with Jesus Christ, he can also do for you. Yes. And that means that eternal life with Christ begins right here and right now, the moment you begin to comprehend this. Yes. Now, ever since our celebration of Pentecost a couple of Sundays ago, and even before Pentecost, when we spent 7 Sundays or so after Easter. Guess what? That's why we spend as much time as we do in these seasons of the church. We're really trying to bring home what God has done. So that none of us miss out. We just don't come on Easter and then forget about what God did and what God is doing. So sometimes we have to linger on it for a while to impress the point. And so ever since our celebration of Pentecost a couple of Sundays ago and during the 7 Sundays after Easter, where we spent time examining the fact that Jesus first appeared among his disciples for some 40 days, guess what? He didn't just appear on that first day. He lingered among them for some 40 days to make sure they would understand what God had done. Raising him from the dead and proving himself alive and preparing his disciples for his ongoing presence with them through the gift of his Spirit. Ever since this gift of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, we have been blessed with the prospect of continuing to be in the eternal presence of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to wait, therefore, to be with him in heaven. We don't have to mark time or be on standby or abide our time until we can be with him again in the afterlife that follows the physical death of the human body when the earthly tent we live in is finally decayed and driven into the ground. But we can instead celebrate and enjoy our life with him even here and even now, during this interim period as we exist in the abode of the earthly tent of our bodies. Because through the process of sanctification, that's a good Methodist word. Through the process of sanctification, Christ has the opportunity to renew us day by day in his spirit. Yes. Yes. Every day we truly walk with Christ in the spirit is a day we also have the opportunity to be in his presence, yes, to grow in his likeness, yes, and to overcome as he did. And to live as a people of the resurrection. So this is why Paul writes to his church audience in Corinth in verses 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being what? Renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. You think you've seen Christ do some things right now, just wait until you get fully on the other side. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary. But what cannot be seen is eternal. Yes, yes, yes. And what cannot be seen, of course, is a life in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And yet our spiritual life is what actually animates us. The body is the tent, it's just a shell. But the spirit is what gives life. And the breath of God breathed into us and upon us is what gives life to what would otherwise be desolate and lifeless. You remember, I think it's in Ezekiel. When the Spirit tells Ezekiel, go and prophesy the four corners of the earth. And as he did so, bone began to connect to bone and sinew to sinew and flesh covered the framework. But at the end of all of that, guess what? There was still no life. There was no life until God purposefully breathed the breath of life into the scaffolding. So don't just think you're just flesh and blood. You are spiritual creatures at your core. The breath of God breathed into us and upon us is what gives, what actually gives life to what would otherwise be desolate and lifeless. And yet the breath of God, known in Hebrew as the Ruah of God, or the Spirit of God, like the wind, it cannot be seen with the naked eye and is invisible. And yet, also like the wind, you can feel it when it's moving in your life. If your spiritual antenna are up, you can sense when the Spirit is doing something with you and around you and through you. Yes, yes, yes. And even though the wind may be invisible, we can still feel it and take notice of it for the changes that it affects in the things around us. And when the Spirit manifests in our life and in our life circumstance, it has a way of bringing in the realm of God into what otherwise would be worldly chaos. It brings a sense of inner peace. It brings hope where the world sees only hopelessness and despair. If I didn't have what I have today and I looked around me, I would not want to get up out of bed, let alone go outside my house. But the Spirit is what brings hope. Where the world sees only hopelessness and despair, it brings vitality, it brings restoration, it brings renewal. Where the world would have us to think that evil, sin, and death will have the last word.
Yes.
But God says to us and to the world through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, oh, no, you won't. I am the author and the creator of all things. I am the one who will have the last word. I am the one who brings power forth from the grave. I am the one that you ought to look to. So what Paul is essentially saying to his persecuted and challenged church audience in Corinth, you think you got problems? We think we have problems as a church today. Think about the church back then when there was only a handful of people up against the Roman Empire.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Under threat, not only of persecution, but execution. And yet those who stood on and believed in what God did in Christ Jesus carried the day.
Yes.
Made it through and passed the baton on to another generation, which now includes us. What will we do with it? Paul says to his persecuted and challenged church audience in Corinth, don't lose hope. Don't lose heart, because we're already living our lives, in so many words, in the eternal presence of Christ himself. And any affliction, any hardship, any deprivation we may be going through right now in the present moment is only temporary and will only serve the purpose of better preparing ourselves for the ongoing eternal fellowship with Christ himself. And when you think about it, any affliction, any suffering, any distress that we as believers and a resurrected Savior may be going through right now can serve an even higher purpose of bringing us all the more closer to Christ himself. If something doesn't break you, at least it has the promise of bringing you closer to Christ himself. And if you let it, that will be your saving grace, rather than having the world break you.
Yes.
Whatever it is that you go through will also have the purpose of helping you to better understand and empathize. To better understand and empathize with Christ himself. For all that Christ had to endure on our behalf. And if we can become more and more Christ-like ourselves, in how we empathize and relate to one another in the same way that Christ himself empathized and related to us, then we ourselves may be able to help somebody else along the way. For we, as believers in a resurrected Savior, we also have the advantage of knowing that once we believe in the power of Christ's resurrection, we have resurrection power ourselves. And in this power, we have the ability to see ourselves primarily as creatures of the Spirit rather than as creatures of the flesh. living our lives primarily as creatures of the Spirit, we are already in the eternal presence of Christ Himself. Therefore, we have power to overcome all things as we are renewed day by day in Christ's Spirit. Paul himself learned this when he wrote in that familiar passage in Philippians chapter 4, "For I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living on plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." So in response to my mother's tongue-in-cheek statement, "Son, don't ever get old," I can say along with Paul this morning that while my outer nature may be wasting away, my inner nature, through Christ Jesus, is being renewed day by day. And beloved, there's nothing that can compare to being in the eternal presence of Christ Himself. For as Paul says, and I close with his verse 17 and 18, "For the slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." Beloved, put your trust in Christ, and all things eternal will come your way, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, these blessings we say. Amen, and thanks be to God who allows such things.